KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and each week I get the opportunity to help bring some real feel-good to your Sunday morning. Our guests today have all recently returned from a one-week mission and service trip in Jamaica. So first things first, let's introduce all of them. With me in the studio, we have current Fresno State student Angie Simano. Welcome, Angie.
It's great to be here, and thank you for having me.
And with Angie is a very recent Fresno State graduate, Miss Emily Roth. Good morning, Emily.
It's really great to be here.
And with these two young ladies is Mr. John Kyler from the Newman Center. John, welcome.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having us.
So today's show is a bit different because this particular trip wasn't officially coordinated by Fresno State. It actually was coordinated by John and others at St. Paul Newman Center, the Catholic Church here in Fresno that serves the university community, and an organization called the Monsignor McCormick Jamaica Mission Project. However, it did involve Fresno State students. There were actually five Fresno State students and one student from a local community college. So, John, I think this is a great example of how students, not just Fresno State students, but all kinds of students, are really making a great difference in our community and internationally. And I want to get to that, but I certainly want to start again, give the audience members a chance to get to know who's behind the mic. And so maybe you can just start us by introducing yourself a little bit.
So thanks, Chris. I'm the director. My name is John Kyler, and I'm the director of Campus and Young Adult Ministries at St. Paul Catholic Newman Center. I'm located directly across the street from Bulldog Stadium. One of our primary goals and missions of the Newman Center is to serve the students at Fresno State in different ways, helping to meet their spiritual needs. I just moved to Fresno about a year and a half ago. It's my second year working with the students, originally from Chicago and a graduate of the University of Notre Dame.
John runs around here in our Fresno winters in shorts and t-shirts and thinks we're all crazy for bundling up because he's used to a little colder weather. So John, the organization that you and your group went with to Jamaica was the Monsignor McCormick Jamaica Mission Project. Can you tell us a little bit about that group?
Sure. The Monsignor McCormick Jamaica Mission Project was really a wonderful group and organization to partner with for our mission trip to Jamaica. They've been going to Jamaica for more than 15 years and serving the local communities there. They have a dedication to not only meeting the needs of people in the communities, but also building great personal relationships with all they encounter there with the local communities, local churches, local families. It's really a wonderful group to have been a part of.
Yeah, it's a great story about how they got started, right? Monsignor McCormick, a priest here in Fresno, had, after 9/11, given a challenge and gave, I believe it was $100 to each of 10 parishioners and basically said, go do something positive with this. Go pay it forward. And Lisa Newsom and I think Debbie Nichols and Lisa's husband, Rick, whether Rick knew he was part of it or not, they originally were just going to raise some money, use that $100 seed money and raise some money and send it overseas and turned into this 15, 17 year project. And they've continued to take groups down there ever since. So really neat story. You know, I got to go on this trip. I think I should divulge that. And, you know, when people hear that term mission trip, they think it refers to, you know, going to some remote land and trying to convert the indigenous people. In fact, my brother wrote me a text when he found out I was going and he says, a mission trip? What are you going to go, you know, convert the heathens? And I'm like, no, that's not what this is about. So maybe, John, you can talk a little bit about what's the real purpose of a modern day mission trip and what were the goals of this trip and other mission trips that you've been on before?
Sure. I think when we think of mission trip in the sense that, you know, it conjures images like you mentioned of going to faraway places and somehow converting people. I think the way that we look at mission trip, and I think that what came across for our group is really just the idea of being Christ for others, right? Being Christ, seeing a need, and then doing our best to meet that need through our actions and interactions with people. So it's less about conversion. It's not even about conversion. It's about sharing who we are and coming to know other people all in the spirit and love of Christ.
And very service oriented. I mean, obviously this trip, and I know other trips that you've led before, are really done through service.
It is. Yeah. We see a need and we do our best to try to alleviate that. If we see hunger, we try to feed it. If we see homelessness, we try to help people in their assistance in getting a home. It's seeing a need and working to meet it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about all the service work that went on during the week in Jamaica. But, you know, Emily and Angie, let's get you both in here. Emily, how about you starting off like John did, a little self-introduction?
Yeah, a little about me. My name is Emily, and I am a recent Fresno State graduate. I just finished with my bachelor's degree in communication, And I actually work for St. Paul Catholic Newman Center. I am their communication coordinator. So I run social media, website, do the bulletin, all that fun stuff, and having a really great time after graduation. So it's been fun.
Yeah. And Angie, how about you?
I am currently a student here at Fresno State. I am a junior standing. Hopefully next year is my senior year. I actually came over here from SoCal with intentions to be a veterinarian. So I was studying pre-veterinary sciences and realized I had a love for food and food nutrition. So now I'm on the track to becoming a registered dietitian and hopefully improve health and nutrition around the world, starting with Jamaica, of course.
Yeah. So in addition to the two of you, there were, like I said, there were four other students, three others from Fresno State and one from Clovis Community College. But how did you first hear about this project and what was it that made you decide to get involved?
I've been very fortunate to find my Catholic community home at the St. Paul Newman Center. So I actually heard about it through Wednesday night dinners through the Catholic Student Association here from Fresno State.
A student group from Fresno State, yeah.
Yes, that's correct. So it was a regular Wednesday night dinner. Lisa and Debbie, the coordinators, come talk to us about this project, this mission trip to Jamaica. And of course, all the students are very engaged. We're really excited to be a part of it. And applications are passed around. So I'm thinking everyone's going to apply. I'm not going to get a chance to go on this mission trip. Mm. So of course, I think I was the first one to apply. And I wrote like a 2-page essay. And John receives it, who is our coordinator of the CSA Catholic Student Association. And he's like, yeah, you're in. Like, I was waiting 2 months by the email to like wait for this response. And I don't think it ever came except from his mouth. Like, yeah, you're in. Yeah. It's okay. So I heard from CSA. And like I said, I didn't think I was worthy enough to go on this mission trip. But luckily, John was able to give me that opportunity.
Well, you proved your worth when you were there. That's for darn sure. How did it feel when you got that notice that you were going? Were you excited? Were you nervous?
I was nervous, but luckily my roommate as well, Demi Ayala, was fortunate to be chosen as well or applied. And together we kind of supported each other throughout the whole application process, raising money and just being there for each other. Even when we didn't think we were worthy enough, we got each other excited. And me and my roommate jumped up for joy. And till this day, we're still excited that we were able to go on this opportunity.
Yeah. You mentioned the money, raising funds. It costs $1,800 a person. That's the flight and all of the expenses for, you know, living and eating and all the ground transportation and everything like that. But the group also raised $4,000, John, is that correct? $4,000 to build a couple of homes. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but you had to raise a lot of money. And so that was a big leading up to the trip. For several months, the group was involved in different fundraisers and helping to raise all those funds. Did you get involved in those as well?
Yes. So we actually had a breakfast pancake fundraiser. We had one of the days at the St. Paul Newman Center, and we raised around $1,800 that day. So that was a great opportunity to raise money. And it just showed how great of a community we have, that a lot of parishioners were able to go to that event and tell us how grateful they were to having us students go on this Jamaica mission trip as well.
Yeah. And Emily, so obviously working at Newman Center, and at that point in time, you weren't a regular employee, but you were a student. What was it about that trip that you said, I got to go on that?
My home parish back in the Bay Area had been doing mission trips to Ghana. And so when I was in high school, I was like, I got to do a mission trip. It's just, I just have to. And I never was able to do it with them. But when the opportunity arose to go to Jamaica, I jumped at the chance. I was like immediately on the phone with my parents, like, they're doing a trip to Jamaica. Like, I got to go. And so I applied as well. And I was fortunate enough to be accepted in, and I was just over the moon excited. And so I was actually not an employee when I first applied and started doing all this stuff. And then as I got hired and then I was more involved in everything, I was in John's office, like constantly talking about, you know, we have a meeting like this Wednesday for Jamaica. Okay. And then what do we need to do about this? And oh, we got to fundraise this and all this stuff. And so I became a lot more involved once I started working at the church with all the stuff for Jamaica.
Yeah.
So
we were there for a week, and obviously a lot of service went in, a lot of sweat and a lot of hard work. Maybe you can start by talking about some of the service projects, and we'll talk about each one, or at least as much as we remember, because there were a lot of different things. So what were some of the memorable ones for you, Emily?
Obviously, building the two houses that we built was, I mean, it took 3 days, so that was pretty awesome. And it was really fun to go from just the foundation, which was very simple, just some cinder blocks and some cement and some rebar that you didn't want to step on. But And then seeing the house getting built and you standing there looking at it like, yeah, I helped build that. Like, you see that like side panel over there? Yeah, I like cut the wood for that, or I like hammered in all those nails. It was really cool. And then we got to paint the first house, which was really fun because I was helping paint. So I was like, oh yeah, I painted the veranda and all
the
this
veranda.
Stuff. And, yeah.
It sounded like quite a plush house. We'll talk about what that really meant.
Yeah, it's not as extravagant as you're probably thinking, but it was really fun. And then we kind of just did whatever they needed. Like Sunday after mass, we were handing out shoes to the kids. And I was in the storage room, you know, grabbing all of the shoes. But I was looking at pictures afterwards and the kids' faces are just like lit up. It was amazing to see just how grateful those kids were.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a big part of this is the fact that this community we were in, Magadi, Jamaica, which is up in the mountains, interior of Jamaica, we were not at the beach resorting it by any stretch of the imagination. Very poor community. And the simple gift of a pair of shoes for some of these kids was huge. And, you know, that they were really grateful for what we were able to help provide.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And another thing that we did was we emptied a giant shipping container with contents from people have ordered stuff locally, and then like people donated stuff to the church, like from all over the world, which was super cool to see. And then we had a bunch of supplies come in that shipping container. And then we took it out to the schools and just, we dealt with mostly administrators, but sometimes the kids were there too. But just like the looks on their faces, just like, oh, you have supplies for us to, you know, do basic education. It was just, you take those things for granted here, but like over there, they're just like so excited to just see it. And it was just, the looks on their faces were just priceless.
Yeah, I didn't go out to those schools. I know when you came back and you were talking about it, it was obvious that that experience was something special for you to be able to see all those kids and deliver. And it was books and toys and, you know, some odds and ends that were donated. It was nothing special. You know, it wasn't like we were giving them all new computers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it was, I went on the first one just kind of offhandedly, like I kind of went because I wanted to sit in the front of the van because I don't get car sick. So I had to sit in the back. And
yeah,
so
we
I
won't
just
talk about car sick.
I just wanted to sit in the front of the van. So I was like, yeah, I'll go. And then we made like 4 or 5 bus trips to like 10 different schools, and I didn't want to leave like and stay there. I was like, no, I'm just going to keep going. Like, I got no problem doing this. And it was actually my favorite part of the trip.
Yeah.
Was doing that. And it seemed so insignificant, but it was just, it had a great impact on me. So
neat.
It was great.
Neat. Angie, how about you? What were some of the service projects that you remember the most?
Like Emily said, giving shoes out after church that Sunday was amazing. Father Merrick.
About 100 kids or so. Yeah. Maybe more.
Maybe more. I really, truly believe it was more than 100, but the exact number, I don't know. Father Merrick, the father we worked with in Jamaica, he actually called it the Cinderella Project. So that's what I refer it to in my journal. And when I'm talking to my parents, I'll talk about the Cinderella Project. And they're like, what? Like, what does that mean? And I'm like, it means happiness. It means joy. The faces on these kids and their mothers, the mothers that take care of these kids, they weren't receiving shoes, and you could see the happiness in their face. And that was beautiful to just know that they're going to take these shoes for a year, maybe more than a year, and actually use them to the best of the abilities. It was an amazing experience. We also got the great opportunity to go to Bala.
Balaclava, yeah.
Yeah, it was Balaclava. We actually got to meet some sisters from the Mother Teresa order. So that was amazing to be able to meet these wonderful women who take care of the poorest of the poor and take care of these people that need homes, that are literally thrown out onto the streets, who may have had a family once but are not wanted anymore. And they have a great facility there with beds, food, warmth, love. And you can really see the community within Bala. Meeting one of the people there, his name was Victor. He was this old man, probably in his 70s, 80s. He remembered Rick, one of our leaders from the Jamaica mission trip. And he was talking to Rick about, oh, man, like, I remember seeing you here last year. And Rick was like, oh, yes, I think I remember you. Like, I was shaving your beard. And he was like, yeah, do you remember we didn't have shaving cream? And he was like, I felt so bad for you. I was pulling your beard. And he was like, that's the best shave I've ever enjoyed. And it was just amazing talking to them about their experiences, their stories, seeing their smiles. We got to also clip their fingernails. One of our Emily's, not this Emily sitting next to me right here, but another
Emily. Emily Sauls, yeah.
Emily Sauls got to clip the nails of these people. And just a simple kind of action like that really brightened up their days, if not their month. And you can really see how grateful they were.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, we'll here in the U.S., you know, I don't know, how much does a pedicure cost these days, ladies? Any idea? You know, $20, $30, $40, maybe more. And so you go and you'll pay to get a pedicure. But here, the simple act of just doing that little service for somebody who is very poor, destitute, and in a facility like this, it just brings them joy and that simple act of service to help others. I think it's simple things like that sometimes that we do that we forget are so enriching to somebody else. You know, the building projects, Emily kind of referred to them a little bit, you know, 3 days, two houses. And people think, how in the world did you construct two houses in 3 days? Well, we didn't quite finish the second one, but, you know, they're very simple dwellings. You want to describe them a little bit?
So we only used three tools to build both houses. We had hammer, we also had a saw, and we had a drill.
Yeah, that's a power saw and a power drill. And there was a handsaw and multiple hammers and things like that. But
that's all we had.
Yeah.
And we said we were building it the Jamaican way because, of course, they do not have regulations there like here in the U.S. So we were literally having people like on the roofs, hanging over the roof, looking at us, talking to us while they're hammering with one hand and a beer in the other, a red stripe.
Not the students. Let me clarify. These students were not drinking while they were working at the construction site.
No, not at all. These were the Jamaicans. And that's why we say they were doing it the Jamaican way. And we were just following exactly what they would tell us. These people, they have a way of doing things. And they have this saying called sumkam. And it's really like, just live one day at a time. Things are going to happen and you just have to deal with them, or you just have to let life be. And it was an amazing way to look at things because we really didn't have a schedule. Like, as much as we finished the first day building that house, we finished it. And it wasn't a big deal if we didn't finish something. It was just like, soon come.
Yeah.
Like, the house will soon come and it will be finished and it will be beautiful. And that's something I actually brought back with me here. I used to have a planner that was like from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and everything was scheduled specifically for every hour of the day. And I threw that out when I came back.
Oh.
And I actually got a planner, a regular planner with like five lines for every single day. And whatever happens that day happens. And if I don't get to something, then I have tomorrow to deal with it. Or have tomorrow to get to it.
Yeah, the little things I think we take away from those experiences include just understanding we're so fixated on time, right? Okay, we're going to meet at 9 o'clock and somebody's, you know, 5 minutes late and we're freaked out. Well, you know, they're not as wedded to the exact minute of the clock. You know, those houses, obviously, I describe them as glorified sheds. We have to understand, I mean, there's no running water, no fixed electrical outlets or lights. A few windows, doors, little, very small three-room, very simple wood, you know, zinc metal roof, and that's it. And they're also built in pretty rugged terrain. And these people, this is a place for them to live. And they are very happy that we're there doing this work with them. And they're, you know, the family's out helping. And this family has to have the foundation prepared when we get there. And just very, very simple surroundings. But that house meant a great deal to them. And I think that, you know, we talk about the veranda. The veranda was just sort of the place you go in. And it was a little covered patio area, probably big enough to fit three chairs on or something like that. But very, very simple dwellings. And I think gave us an appreciation for the fact that not only are they not wedded to this idea of time, but you know what? Having a simple place to lay your head is as great as having a mansion to lay your head. And obviously, as you lady said, there were other projects, you know, some of the distributions of materials and just being around the church location and helping out around there. I'm wondering, what was it that you think that you took in terms of the greatest things that you brought back with you? You mentioned kind of changing your mind about scheduling, but what was it that touched you the most, do you think? And what do you think you left with the Jamaicans the most?
I think, like you were saying, Chris, soon come. That's one of the biggest things that I brought back, is that you have to live one day at a time and make the most of it. Always make the most of it. When we were in Jamaica, personally, I tried to be the best that I could be at everything that I was doing out there, because I knew that I may not get the chance to go back to Jamaica. So I want to make sure that I'm giving these people that need something from me, that needed me to build that house, the best that I could be. And I feel like when I'm over here, I tend to do what I can, but maybe not shine as best as I can. So now coming back, I try to do everything as best as I can. Ask those questions that I was embarrassed to ask before. I'm more open. I really closed myself off last semester, and now I just have this opportunity to make sure that I'm talking to everyone I can, really getting to meet people. I think I also thought that I was going to go over there to help these people, and they helped me so much more than I gave them. And I really hope that if I left something over there, it was giving them hope or leaving my helping hand there, that showing them that you don't have to come from another country to lend a helping hand, per se, Jamaica. They can go ahead and help their own community, just like the parish that Father Merrick had there helps their community. They give back. And now that I'm back here in the States, I want to make sure that I give back to my community as well.
Yeah. And Emily, how about you? What did you take away from that experience the most? And what do you think the greatest things you left behind are?
I feel like I didn't really leave anything there. I mean, obviously, like the house, for me, it was kind of a different experience. Like Angie said, she really, I guess, got in touch with the Jamaicans. But I learned a lot, actually, from Father Merrick and the sisters that were there, because I don't know if we've touched on this yet, but they have an education program there for the kids. And learning more about how the education program works and how the schools work in Jamaica and how most of the parents aren't educated, and it's kind of hard for them to, you know, help their kids and all this stuff, and all that the church does, and how difficult it is at times, because, you know, with Jamaicans, they like soon come, like it'll get done. And so they're not like as, I guess, on schedule with some things like the church needs them to be in order for them to stay in the program. And it's hard for Father Merrick and the sisters and Marta who run this program. And they're like, we want to see you succeed, but we can't really help you if you're not like willing to help yourself, I guess. And so it was just kind of, for me, a lesson in patience. Like, okay, you want all this stuff done and you know how to do it, but it's like you have to work with other people and you have to kind of get them to move with you. And so I think it was just, for me, it was taking from what they've told me, just kind of a lesson in patience that, you know, with a little hard work, everything can get done.
Yeah.
So,
John, what about you? You've participated in a couple of these trips when you were in college yourself, and you've led a couple now. What do you think the biggest takeaways are for people who get involved in things like this?
Sure. I think that it's really an opportunity for each of us to remember and to recognize that we don't operate, we don't live as isolated individuals. We can't. We're part of a much bigger community, a much bigger family of brothers and sisters, both here locally and around the world. And when we look and participate in projects like this, it changes our mindset. It widens our horizons and allows us to better realize that it's not about us. Life is not about us. Life is about all of us together.
Yeah, we live in our own little silo in our own little apartments or houses or worlds so often. And, you know, it is easy to forget that there are millions of others out there. And, you know, we can leave a small handprint on their lives as well. So, John, if somebody's listening to the show today and they want to get involved in a future trip, either through the Newman Center or through the Monsignor McCormick Mission Project, how can they get more information?
Sure, I'd say contact us at the Newman Center at right across the street from Fresno State. Check out our social media, our website, csufnewman.com. And we can see more information about our upcoming programs and opportunities for students here. And I would say, don't be afraid. If you see an opportunity, if you come across an opportunity, be courageous, take that step and give it a try. I think only good things can come from them.
Well, like I said, I was lucky enough to participate in this trip, and I had an amazing experience. This is the second time I've gone overseas to do service work and with students. And it just, you know, I've already started talking to some faculty, have a couple that are interested in maybe taking other groups back over there, this time for an international service learning trip related to a particular course or subject area. But I just want to say that the three of you, along with Lisa and Rick and Debbie and Demi and Emmy and Michael and Evelyn, you're just fantastic. It was so much fun to see all of you participate, and everybody just dove right in. Every time it was like, okay, we got to be up at 5:30 tomorrow morning because the big truck's going to get here and we got to unload starting at 6. And everybody was like, okay, great, we'll be up, ready to go. And that's how just everybody had this great can do, whatever we need to do attitude. So thank you. Thank you for all that. And thanks for being here. Thanks to my guests, Angie Simano, Emily Roth, and John Kyler. And as always, thank you everyone for listening and joining us this morning. Please tune in again next Sunday morning and every Sunday morning at 11 for another Fresno State Service in Action program here on KFSR. Also like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. That's at FS Service in Action. We'd really love to hear from you on our Facebook site, and that site provides a great platform to hear your reactions and take questions and much more. So please visit us and let us know what's on your mind. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.